sophisticated kind that has more than one switch on it. I stepped into this thing on the days of Noah on last week, and there's no way to get out of it till I finish, so that may be a while. As long as you can stand me and being around here, at least it may be a day or two before we finish this. But I think it's imperatively important about that. Put those two words together for a moment. That we understand that Noah's day is as much a picture of our day as a picture taken of you yesterday is still fresh in your mind today when you see it. Now Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, it's written that way in the New Testament. And then he said it's going to be the same way in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. I don't know if you realize this or not, but we're about over this thing. We've just about finished this ride. Now, I know you've heard preachers say that down through the years, but that's exactly what Simon Peter said you was going to say. Where's the promise of his coming? For everything continues as it was. But Jesus declares that he is coming, and Simon Peter goes on to declare that he is coming. So just keep your eyes on the eastern sky. He's coming. He's coming. Very often when I say good day to folks, I say these words, keep looking up. He is coming. And he is. Chapter number 6 of the book of Genesis. My, what a description we have here. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man. You need to get this in your head. God knows what's taking place. He knows what's going on. God saw the wickedness of men. It was great in the earth. And that every imagination and thought of his heart was only evil continuously. When you get to the point to where you can't have a decent thought, and believe you me, we're living in that day. You'd be surprised at the number of people you come in contact daily. Their mind is so cluttered with wickedness and ungodliness that they can't have a decent thought. You'd be surprised at the number of people in church you come in contact with that way. Hello? This world's full of wickedness. And it repented the Lord, I'm in verse number 6, that he had made men on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, which I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Let me make a statement right here before I even crank up. Grace is the basis of God's dealing with man in every circumstance. Let me say that again. Grace is the basis of God's dealing with man in every circumstance. If God deals with you, it started off with grace. God, not man, God. God is the progenitor of salvation. Salvation is of the Lord, the psalmist declares. And we need to learn that. By the way, when Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, I call that whale seminary, because he learned more in 3 days and three nights than most preachers learn in a lifetime. I meet preachers all the time, and you do as well, and all you got to do is turn on the radio or the television when you're listening to preachers, and you're going to find out that the vast majority of them have never learned what this man learned in whale seminary. What was the statement that he made when he came from the belly of the whale? Salvation is of the Lord. Now he's a graduate. How about that? No man is a graduate until he learns that salvation is of the Lord. Think that over for about 15 minutes. If God doesn't bring the salvation, everything you can do to try to get saved is going to be useless. Everything man can try to do to get you in will be useless unless God, through grace, comes to your house with the wagon of salvation. So God deals with man on the basis of grace. And by the way, when grace shows up, it normally shows up when wickedness is at its peak. Where sin did abound, Paul said, grace did much more abound. And you better be grateful for that. Because in the day we live, if it were not for the grace of God, every one of us would be involved in the ungodliness that's taking place. Hello? Now, I know some of you look like, oh, Brother Larry, I would never do none of the stuff that's going on. I know you wouldn't. I know good and well that you wouldn't. No more so than they're doing it. Hello? One more time. You see, you're human. I'm human. We can be tempted. We can sin. No matter how much of a spiritual pedigree we may have, we are still sinners. I know people don't like to hear that. And I doubt seriously that these walls have heard a whole lot of that since it was a Methodist church previously. Hello. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I want to read a few more verses and I'll get to this. But Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. That's the second man that it's said of, you know. There was another. See if you can figure out who that was. Just go back a chapter or two. Not just one, actually. Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now look at this. The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked upon the earth, and behold, his vision looked upon corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted. You need to underscore that little pronoun. His way upon the earth. Now, last week I talked with you about the days of Noah being a day of illicit marriages. The fallen angels had sexually copulated with the women that were birthed to natural men on this earth, and there were unnatural men and women being birthed. Giants, both male and female giants, were birthed. Men of renown. I was watching the History Channel the other night, and they were talking about some of these things that they find on earth and wonder how all that came to pass. There's God's answer. There's how it happened. Men of renown. These are angelic beings. Do you understand that? Fallen angels. That means their knowledge was far superior to our knowledge today. So that's how these things came to pass. And I thought as I was listening to that, they do that with such simplicity and declare that they know exactly what happened. And I thought, these people are ignorant as a bull in a china shop. They don't have any idea where all this came from. But every once in a while they say there were probably extraterrestrial people involved, or beings, they call it. Well, you see, they're almost there, but almost truth is not truth. Did you hear that? Almost truth is not truth. It's still a lie. So there were the days of illicit marriages. By the way, there were days of multiple marriages. Not just one, but multiple marriages. And then, of course, there was the mutilation of took place as far as the whole sense of righteousness is concerned. Just destroyed, taken care of. There was a day of rejected preaching. I talked about that last week. A day of mockery of righteousness. Can you imagine what must have gone on in the lives of this multitude of people? Now, most of us have never realized how many people were on the earth in Noah's day. What we think is, well, you know, there was a little township, maybe a little, you know, just a little community there. Not so. Let's go back and think about this for a moment. In Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 16, God said to Eve that he would greatly multiply her conception, her sorrow and her conception. Now that means, simply put, that she'd have more than one child at a time. Now it wasn't just Eve that bore that, but every woman that was birthed on the face of the earth would multiply, her conceptions would be multiplied. America, as a nation, since the time of the settlers, for the most part, is about 500 years old. Is that about right? We're in the ballpark, right? About 500 years since 1492. There are 327 plus million people in America today. Now that's 500 years. We're looking at 1,500 years in Noah's day. And multiplied conceptions. Are you still with me? Can you imagine the number of people? Let's just take, if you will, just take the number that I just gave you. In 500 years, 327 plus million. Multiply that by 3. How many people is that? That's 1 billion people. Right? 1 billion people in Noah's day. And I'm just using the circumstance where we're concerned in America. We're not living with that thing of multiplied conceptions. It could have been far more than that. Most people have never thought of that. What we think, I was that little community where the flood came and down there in that little valley and everybody died. No, 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 no. No. Multiplied, millions of people died during the flood. And why did they die? because of their wickedness, because of their violence, because of their ungodliness. And God got tired of it. Now, may I inform you that God is no doubt getting tired of the circumstances in this world today, as He was in the day of Sodom. Billy Graham, years and years ago, said, if God does not judge America because of the immorality, then He'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, that's a bad statement. God never apologizes to anyone. But I can understand the depth of which He was saying that. God never apologizes, but you can be assured, friend, that judgment is coming on America. If nothing else, just think of the immorality that we're living with. Think of the multitudes of babies that are dying after even coming from mama's womb, and the multitude that are slain inside the womb. Think of the immorality. Think of how America has allowed the ungodliness of immorality of the baser sort to become front row seats. You're living in a nation where there is a pervert running for president. Brother Larry, I wouldn't say it that way. Well, let me say it the way it ought to be said. We're living in a nation where there is a sodomite running for the presidency of the United States of America. Now, that's not the nth degree. According to the circumstances this morning, he won the Iowa election. I want to tell you something. There's something wrong with Iowa. So I wouldn't... Oh yeah, something bad wrong. But you know what? In all honesty, be careful now, because that mess is filtering down into where we live. Are you still alive? Down where we live, and before God Almighty, it wouldn't surprise me if that man doesn't win the Democrat position of running for president of the United States of America. Now, who would have ever thought? I'm a bit beyond the age of accountability, but when I was a young man, that was not a part of the society in which I lived. Just wasn't. As a matter of fact, I was taught in college that that is a perverted lifestyle. Now it's accepted. Now they're telling us that it's all right. Now somewhere, somebody lied. Let me tell you who's lying. They're lying to us now. God condemns it very much so. God condemns it. Did any of you folks read Romans chapter 1 after I mentioned it last week? Did God condemn it? Sure as He made little green apples. So it was a day of gross immorality. Then it was a day of the warning of impending judgment. Methuselah. Remember that name? The man that lived longer than anyone else on earth. Methuselah. The term or the word, the name Methuselah means, when he dies, it shall come. Now, Methuselah's daddy is the man called Enoch. Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. There may be a reason why Enoch walked pretty close to God after that boy was birthed. Because he knew that when that boy died, judgment's coming on the earth. Just the name alone says judgment's coming. A day of impending judgment. You cannot wake up in the morning in America and not see that judgment is on its way. God will not tolerate the ungodliness that's going on around this country and around the world much longer. Now, I thank God for long suffering. And by the way, this was a time of long suffering as well. Simon Peter said it was. So God's long-suffering, and you better thank God, and I thank God that He is, both where I'm concerned and where our nation is concerned. Thank God He is long-suffering. But there comes a time when God gets fed up with it. Now, it didn't take Him long in the book of Genesis to get there. Didn't take a long time in Sodom and Gomorrah for him to get there. By the way, there are five of those cities. Study the Bible right closely. Five of those cities. Sodom and Gomorrah were the larger cities, but there were five of those cities of the plain that were destroyed. And why? Because of sexual perversion. Man with man, woman with woman. Bestiality was the norm for that day and time. Now, if you don't know what that is, look it up and you get to the house. But ungodliness beyond reason, folks. A reasonable individual despises that kind of thing. God despises it. Surely a reasonable individual would despise it. But what's happening to us today? Now listen to me. I may not get a whole lot farther than this today, but listen to me, please. The reason this mess is proliferated across the landscape is twofold. First of all, it's not being preached in the pulpit because preachers are scared to death. Somebody's going to get angry with them. Hey, I paid my dues. I don't give a New York rip. I'm telling you, we need to say it. We're living in a world where our young people are taught and we are being bombarded by this thing so much so that if we're not careful, we'll begin to compromise with it. Let me tell you when you really start compromising. When you have a friend or a family member or someone that is perverted, it's real easy for you to start saying, well, man, it's really not all that bad. Honey, it doesn't make any difference if granny is, if daddy is, mama is, boys, girls, cousins, aunts, uncles, whatever, it's still perversion. And God Almighty despises it. It is an abomination in the sight of the Lord God Almighty. And let me just tell you something. Look up here at me. The word abomination in your Bible is not there just to be in there. Abomination means despises it. Now, there are several things in the Word of God where the Word of God says, and this shall be an abomination unto you, speaking to Israel. And then there are places where the Word of God says, and this is an abomination to God. Now, if it's an abomination to God, it never changes. God never stops despising what He despises. And He never stops loving what He loves. You see, if God stops despising, then he can no longer be God. If he stops loving that he loves, he can no longer be God. Because, you see, he's changed. I hope you're getting this. Because when you read your Bible, it's imperative that you understand what it's saying. If it is an abomination in the sight of God, then it is still an abomination in this hour, in this day, where we live in our culture. Brother Lay, I don't see it that way. That's fine. Listen, that you're not the first person to disagree with me. You see, I've been around a week or two. I've been disagreed with folks who really thought they knew what they're talking about. All you got to do is look at this book. This book's right. I'm wrong and you're wrong, but the book's right. In every case, the book is right. So Noah's day is just as much so like our day as if there was a photograph taken and here's the picture. Living in a day of gross immorality. And it's all becoming acceptable. You see, it's one thing. It's one thing for an individual here or there or wherever to be caught up in this mess. But it's another thing when our government begins to okay it. These kind of folks have been with us down through the ages. But when the government begins to accept it and then promote it, there was a day that this dude, you can't even call him a dude, this Democrat, I even hate to call him that, this pervert, this sodomite would be lashed to a pole, feathered and tarred and feathered, and hauled out of town and told, don't ever show your perverted face back here again. But today, he's running for president. Now let me ask you, have we lost our way? Are we not in the circumstance of wickedness? There are two basic words used here, wickedness and corruption. Corruption is what's on the inside. Now you know and I don't have to draw any pictures for you. Every last one of us have corruption inside of us. Wickedness is when that corruption comes out and puts itself into actions outside the body. So it all starts out in the heart. Remember? Every imagination of the heart is only evil. Let me ask you a question. Look up at me just a moment. Listen carefully. How many of you would like to have your thoughts for the last week plastered on the screen behind me? Anybody got a hand to lift? Well, why not? Why not? Most of us would declare to the nth degree that we're saved by the grace of God. You see, I'm proving something to you. You listen now. You're still human. Saved, yes. By the grace of God, yes. Hallelujah. But we're still in this old body, and this old body is still tempted, and this old body still thinks in the wrong direction. Now listen carefully. The more we're exposed to that garbage, the more our mind begins to think wicked thoughts, corrupt thoughts. The corruption is there anyway. All it needs is just a little encouragement and it'll come out. Most of us at least have reached the age of accountability. You say, how old is that, Brother Lay? Who knows? I know what everybody says, but some people don't get that. Brother Roger here has never got there yet. We come to where we know what we're doing is wrong. When you get there, then you're at the age of accountability. When you know your thoughts are wrong, when you understand that what you're thinking shouldn't be on display, then you're admitting that corruption lurks inside of you. And if that corruption is encouraged, given a license, that's what our government is doing, giving a license to kill innocent blood, shedding innocent blood. God judged Israel for shedding innocent blood. Do you think God is going to allow America to get by with killing as many babies as we have? But there's a license to do that because the government has made it acceptable. The wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah, the perversion of our day, has a license. To hear it reported on the news, you'd think that every other person in the world was a pervert. Look up here. There's only about 5% of America that is involved in that junk. And yet they're purporting and purveying their ungodliness to everybody, everywhere, and trying to get you to say, well, it's all right. I'm going to say this plainly. It is not all right. And the judgment of God is as bound in our direction as it is that He made little green apples. Judgment's coming. Wickedness, corruption, evil thinking, and evil motions, doing what the wicked mind is telling us to do. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Lot. See, the text says that they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriages. Just kind of going on like nothing's happening. And all the time, the wickedness is boiling up like a volcano. And soon it erupted
and God sent the flood. And billions of people went to hell in a watery grave. Now look up here and listen. God's been merciful to you. He's been long-suffering on your behalf. He's put up with our ungodliness and our wickedness and our corruption. But judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. Few are saying that, but judgment is coming. If Jesus said it, I think we can say it. Judgment's coming. Thank God for salvation. Thank God for grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And he found grace when all of this wickedness, all of this darkness, all of this ungodliness, all of this perversion was taking place around him, Noah found grace. When the flood of wickedness comes in, grace floats above it. When God brought judgment upon the day of Noah, the very thing that slew the multitudes outside that ark bore Noah and his family up and carried them to safety. Grace. Simple little word. Grace. Noah found grace. God's grace is still sufficient today to save to the uttermost. Oh, but Brother Larry, you don't understand how wicked I am. Yeah, I do. Believe me, I do. Listen, I pastored Baptist people for over 4 decades. And I've been running across this country for all these years, preaching in churches across this country. Believe me, I know what Baptist people are like. We're wicked. We're as full of hell as the world out there is. But there's a difference. Grace. There's a difference. Salvation. There's a difference. The Holy Ghost lives inside. The guard of the Holy Ghost lives inside, keeping us from the wickedness and the ungodliness that prevails across the landscape. There's a difference. I told you earlier, there's a difference because those outside the household of faith are but a twofold being. Inside the household of faith, we are a threefold being. The spiritual nature is alive. And that spiritual nature that's alive in the child of God, thank God, keeps us. Simon Peter said we're kept by the power of God. Keeps us from the wickedness that would soon overtake us and make us just as wicked outwardly as that outfit that I've been talking about this morning. I don't know about you, but I think, if I were where you are and did not know the Lord Jesus Christ, I'd get to him as soon as I possibly could, because judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. This may be the last message of grace you hear in your lifetime. I wonder how many times I've stood before a congregation of people and preached, and somebody in that congregation never came back again except in a casket. There's a high probability that this group of people will never be together again. And there's a high probability that you will not see another Sunday. I may not see another Sunday. I believe if I didn't know Jesus as my personal Savior, I'd get to Him just as fast as I could. You see, when the Holy Ghost began to finger around your heart and cause you to begin to feel things you never felt before, when God causes your eyes to open and you see things you never saw before, and when God causes your ears to open and you start hearing things you never heard before, are you still hearing me? Never heard before, God's dealing with your heart. And when you realize you're a sinner, flee from the sin and flee to Christ. Let's stand our feet. Heads are bowed.